Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is fur bear biologist Stephanie Tucker. Today we're going to talk about fur bears. Steph, any changes this year?
No major changes to the fur bear regulations this year. So probably the biggest thing is a new look to the fur bear guide. So when people go to pick up their fur bear hunting and trapping guide, it's actually being combined with the small game and the waterfowl guides this year into a nice handy little booklet that's hopefully more user-friendly, gets rid of some of the overlap that we had between those three guides and combines it all into one more user-friendly booklet.
Sure. Last year we had our first ever river otter season.
Right. So last year the big news was we had our first regulated trapping season for river otters in almost 100 years. It went really smoothly. It also, the harvest limit, which was 15, was met really quickly. It was actually met in 8 days. So trappers were excited for that opportunity and they hit the ground running and the harvest limit was met pretty quickly. So this year, the river otter trapping season will look very similar to last year. Same harvest limit. Again, it's a statewide season. Trapping only, traps or cable devices. One river otter per person.
Okay, let's move on to coyotes. How's the coyote population?
Right, coyotes, of course, are our most popular fur bear in North Dakota for both hunting and trapping, cable devices. And they're doing good this year, so there should be enough to go around. Last year we had a slight dip in our trend for in some of the regions of the state for coyotes, but the numbers have rebounded. It seems like the numbers of coyotes are doing really well. One concern that some of the hunters and trappers have had the last several years is they're seeing some of that canine chewing lice on the coyotes, so it kind of manifests itself as some, you know, poor hair quality between the shoulder blades or the back of the neck, and that's still going on in the population. So if trappers or hunters see that, you know, where it, they might think it's an early onset of mange, but actually it's a lice infestation. Okay. If they see that, it's nothing to worry about. It won't actually kill the coyote, but it does usually devalue the pelt. But if they see that out there, that's what's going on.
Okay, how about muskrats?
Muskrats, also very popular fur bear in North Dakota. Unfortunately, you know, we cycle, we have about a 10 or 11 year boom bust cycle for muskrats in the state. And a few years ago, we dropped down to the bottom of the cycle. We're still down pretty low. The numbers really haven't rebounded the last couple of years. I'm sure last summer's drought did not help muskrat reproduction at all and help them climb back up out of the bottom of that cycle. But we'll keep our eye on it. Hopefully in the next couple of years, they'll start ticking back up.
Okay, something we talked about a little earlier, Steph, before the webcast here is this incidental reporting. What do you mean by incidental reporting?
Right, so occasionally, you know, when trappers are out setting their equipment for, say, maybe like a raccoon or a coyote, they might incidentally catch something with a close season, like a river otter or a fisher. And if that is the case, you know, and they're doing everything legal, they have, you know, they're legally trapping within our regulations, you know, we need them to call and report that incidental and turn that carcass. We get a lot of really valuable information from those carcasses of incidentals, and that goes into our population models that we use to monitor trends to see if numbers are going up and down. And so it's really important that, you know, they report those incidentals and turn them over to the game wardens. If they haven't done anything illegal up to that point, they won't issue a citation for it. The only thing illegal they're doing if they're not reporting it is not reporting it.
Right.
It is in our regulations that they need to report that. So we have that in there because that information from those incidentals, again, is very valuable. So we really want to collect that information if we can.
Sure. So report it.
Right. Report your incidentals.
Okay. Let's move on to equipment ID.
Okay. Last year, there was a change in a couple of areas. One is we changed the state law so that you could use an equipment ID number instead of your name, address, and telephone number on snare tags. So in North Dakota, cable devices or snares all need to be tagged. And in state law, it had said you need to use your name, address, and telephone number. But a couple years ago, we made the changes so that you could also use, instead of your name, address, and telephone number, you could use an equipment registration number. And you just get that number by going onto our website. That number stays with you for life. Not only can you use it for your traps or cable devices, you can also use it for tree stands or ground blinds that you might leave on public lands and things like that. So it's good for a lot of things. It's also good for ice houses too. That's another one. And then as part of that, now all of our equipment, that is all of personal equipment that people leave on our wildlife management areas, needs to be identified with that equipment number or name, address, and telephone number. So in the past, you know, you could set traps and leave them on WMAs without being ID'd, but now everything, that's all equipment left on WMAs, trail cameras, ground blinds, tree stands, and traps need to be identified.
And there's a date where you have to have them removed from our wildlife management
right.
areas.
Well, of course, some of our trapping seasons go longer than those dates. And of course, you're well within your legal rights to be trapping on WMAs if the season is open. But again, your equipment needs to be tagged.
How about cable devices?
Right. So cable devices, again, whether you're on public land or not, they need to be identified with, again, your name, address, telephone number, your equipment registration number, ID number. The other thing with cable devices we like to remind people of is we do have a whole host of regulations that are specific to cable devices. Know those regulations. Be sure you understand them. They all have a purpose. Most of their purposes is to reduce or prevent non-target take with cable devices. A lot of cable devices are lethal devices in North Dakota. So we take an extra step towards adding some regulations in there to prevent lethal take of non-targets. And as part of that, one of those regulations says that your cable devices must disassemble at 350 pounds pull or greater. So they must disassemble if you accidentally catch something big like a deer or an elk or somebody's livestock. And then those animals pull on that cable device and it just simply disassembles and the animal is free to go on its way. Right. And one thing that people should keep in mind is that they should really test whether they're home assembling cable devices or buy cable devices. You know, ask the person supplying you with cable devices if they've been tested to disassemble at 350 pounds. If they're not sure and they want to make sure, we will test those for free. So to make sure they're in compliance with our regulation for 350 pounds pull or less, they can send cable devices into us for free and we will test them for them. So we just like to make sure everybody's in compliance with that.
Okay. How about mountain lions?
Right. So mountain lions, that's a perfect example of an animal that could get caught in a cable device. And if it didn't have that 350 pound pull disassembly or you know, wasn't equipped with that, you know, you might accidentally lethally take a mountain lion, and we don't want that to happen
sure.
to you. But mountain lions is a hunting only season in North
yep.
Dakota. So last year's season was similar to the season prior to that. We had a harvest limit of 15 split up into a couple zones and a couple early and late seasons. No changes to the season structure this year. Last year's season, the early season in zone one, the harvest limit was not met. And then the late season zone one limit was reached when three females were taken.
Okay.
And so the season closed after that. Something that was kind of interesting though last year was we had quite a few, more than usual, I should say, not quite a few, but more than usual, we had six mountain lions taken in zone two, which is the area outside of the Badlands, outside of our breeding range. And so we know that mountain lions are breeding and reproducing and their core habitat is in the Badlands of North Dakota. But they take off from there and they wander out and they disperse. And sometimes they show up in all kinds of weird places in North Dakota. And last year, you know, six of them took off and were legally taken by hunters in other areas of the state. And so that doesn't happen. That's only happened in the 12 years we've had a mountain lion season. That's only happened one other time where we've had, you know, that many mountain lions taken in zone two. So that's just, really, it's not a reflection of the population abundance or how many mountain lions are in the Badlands. That's a naturally ingrained desire for mountain lions to disperse at a certain age. And so some take off and some get harvested in the process.
Right, right. Let's move on to the fur harvester education classes that are coming up in mid-August here.
Right. So our department, in cooperation with the North Dakota Fur Hunters and Trappers Association, offer a 16-hour education program about hunting and trapping and all things fur bearer, including fur handling. It's a free class to anybody who wants to take it. There's typically classes every August, September offered in Bismarck, Dickinson, and Jamestown. And so they should go on our website to see when those classes are offered and sign up. Typically the classes don't fill up, and so there's usually room available if anybody wants to learn about, I mean, you learn about trapping from big to little. You learn about all the fur bearers, all the different equipment used to catch all the different fur bearers, how to take care of your fur after you've caught it, and all the regulations. So it's a really informative class, and again, it's free to the public, and it's usually offered about this time of year.
So it's good for beginners and people that have experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. Fur harvester education is not required in North Dakota,
okay.
So this is a voluntary program. But if you do want to go trapping in another state that requires fur harvester education, our certification is reciprocal. So it would be honored in those states as well. So that's another reason that somebody might be interested in taking it.
A lot of good information, Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For more information on hunting and trapping fur bears in North Dakota, go to the Game and Fish website at gf.nd.gov or pick up a 2018-2019 hunting and trapping guide. For fur bear biologist Steph Tucker and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, Thanks for joining us for this week's Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.